You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Are you kidding me?
You are looking live.
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
Welcome in. It is the Friday, July 2nd Winning Cures Everything podcast. I'm Gary.
I'm Chris.
And whew, man, it's been a week. It has been a week. We made it to the end, though. We're here. This is two times this week that you have worn an LSU shirt. I feel like you're
full disclosure, this is the same shirt that I wore the other day. I got in. I had sweat through my other shirt that I wore at work today. And so I got upstairs and I grabbed the only clean shirt that I had.
Well, there you go. Hey, you know what? It looks
my
good.
My computer's playing noise.
Is that bad or is it, I couldn't hear it?
Oh, well, was it good noise? Or? That's good. No, okay. It was an ad. Somebody was singing.
Well, there you go. There you go. Yes.
No, same shirt, not sweat through though.
Well, that is definitely good. That's a sign, you know, of good things, I think. Yeah. I have myself been sweating profusely today. It's been warm and muggy. Muggy outside, so you know how it goes. Lots of sports stuff to discuss. We'll go on and give you the rundown first. WinningCuresEverything.com is the website. SBRPicks.com/NCAAF is your one-stop shop for all of your college football gambling needs. You can go find them. Just search out YouTube. That's where we do our college football shows. We have a MAC preview that will be up on Friday. We have a Conference USA preview that went up on Wednesday. We got more coming out next week. It is college football conference preview time. We're in July. And of course, we got the NIL stuff. We're not going to talk about it on that show, but we're going to talk about it on this show. We'll discuss that today. We'll discuss all kind of stuff. Let's dive into the first topic here. And this is one from this morning. For those of you that watched the NFL draft, you know, first round thing, and then heard us talk about it, you know, kind of recap the NFL draft, I brought up that I thought it was kind of crazy that Tomorion Terry, the Florida State wide receiver, was not drafted in the NFL draft. I thought it was strange because he, you know, at one point was expected to be like a first-round guy. That's how talented this kid is. But he wasn't even drafted, and, you know, he didn't play a ton last year. But came out today that he has been indicted on a murder charge related to a 2018 shooting incident in Georgia. And that, of course, is bad. But the weird thing about it, it says Terry is one of 11 defendants named in the grand jury indictment related to the shooting death of 21-year-old Zakavia Smith in Ashburn, Georgia, on June 30th, 2018. At the time, Terry was a freshman on Florida State's football team, having redshirted the previous year. You know, he planned to turn himself in. He cooperated with the investigation. He turned his cell phone over to the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. He remains confident his name is going to be cleared. But, man, this is that 11 defendants in a shooting trial, I don't feel like that's common.
Yeah, there's got to be something unique to this. We You literally just told me about it. I don't know anything about the case.
And there's no news about
11.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's more to it, but this, I don't know.
What are the other options? Like, if you're a defendant in a shooting murder, getaway car, co-conspirators, like what else?
Well, yeah. I mean, it could just be, I mean, when you said 11, my first thought was some type of, I don't know anything about it, but I'm thinking some type of gang initiation. Okay.
Yeah.
Or gang, not maybe initiation, but a gang war, to where a group of individuals went and attacked this one person, to take them out. And to do that, you know, if it took any type of planning, to execute it and get away, you could get up to 11 people involved in that.
But other than that, I mean, there's not a lot that you would have.
I can't imagine anything more than that. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it's a little strange. He was signed as an undrafted free agent by the Seahawks earlier in the spring, but the team waived him on Wednesday before the indictment came down. So they got word that it was happening, and
I'm sure, you know. I mean, like I said, I don't know. Everything that I covered in school and looking into criminal stuff, it was all solo acts. It was serial killers. It was, you know, sex crimes. These are things that are usually done from one individual.
Yeah, this was certainly different, very different. But either way, we don't like those kind of stories, so we're going to jump off of that one. Obviously, if anything else pops up, we will dive into it if it comes out, or if he gets his name cleared or whatever. But until then, we're going to talk about Penny Hardaway. And, you know, there was all these stories about 3 weeks ago. It kind of started hearing rumblings that he might be a candidate for the Orlando Magic job. And then you get word early in the week that he has, in fact, interviewed for the Magic, and he is a serious candidate, and da-da-da-da-da. And then it is announced on, I believe, Wednesday that, nope, he is coming back to Memphis. He released it on his Instagram or his Twitter or whatever it is, and said that it is not time. Like, he would love to be an NBA coach, and how cool would it be if it was for the Magic, the team that he, you know, grew up playing for and all that. But now is not the right time for that. Now, the other interesting part of this is right after he announces that, word starts to leak out, the news starts to get around that Memphis is about to hire Hall of Fame basketball coach Larry Brown as an assistant coach. Now, those that have listened to Winning Cures Everything for years and years know that when Penny was hired to be the head coach, he wanted to bring in Larry Brown as an assistant. And the former athletic director, Tom Bowen, would not allow it because, look, Larry has coached in college basketball. He's won an NBA championship and a national championship. He coached at Kansas. He coached at SMU. Coached at, what, UCLA, I believe? All three places. Ended up on NCAA probation afterwards. So he's 3 for 3 with the NCAA with every stop that he's been at. But, you know, 83-year-old man, and he is about to be an assistant coach. But Penny wanted this a long time ago. And part of me wonders if he didn't use the Orlando Magic situation, even if he wasn't a viable candidate, if he didn't get them to, like, give him an interview just so that Memphis knows he might be serious about leaving if they don't give him what he wants. And as soon as he announces he's coming back, they get Larry Brown. How you feel about it?
I don't know that he was ever realistically a candidate for
an NBA job.
The Magic job. I think this is we're going to give you an interview. We're going to look into you. But if you look at what he's good at in college, it's recruiting. It's not the coaching. The reason he has to hire guys like Larry Brown and he has to have a great staff is to work with the kids and actually do the X's and O's in the coaching.
Yeah.
Okay. He has not been a great coach throughout his time at Memphis so far. He's won because they've had great players, but the reason they've kind of had low ceilings is because they're getting out coached in a lot of these games. They're getting beat by teams with lesser performance, lesser talent regularly. I don't think there's any way on earth recruiting is zero part of the job. for an NBA player, coach. It's just zero part of it.
Well, agreed. But the there is one thing, the one reason why I think that he could possibly make sense as an NBA coach, and the Orlando Magic situation would have been perfect for this, a lot of young players on that team, and he knows how to connect with those players. A big part of
you gotta coaching be able to the coach NBA. Them. You can't just connect with them.
Agreed, but if you are connecting as the head coach and you are the overseer and whatnot, you can bring in X's and O's guys, right?
I'm gonna disagree. I just don't see that. I don't think that that works. You have to be able to coach. Okay. Yes, you have to be able to connect with them, but the what you're asking is the thing that you want for somebody to be able to do. Thousands of people can do. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people are capable of connecting with young people. Okay. Tens of people are actually able to coach at the level to have an NBA coaching head coaching job.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't need Penny Hardaway to connect with young people. I need Penny Hardaway to coach these guys because they're not coached very well.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's certainly true.
That's the difference. And that doesn't, I don't think that swings, in my opinion. I just don't think it works.
And so what are your thoughts on him bringing Larry Brown to Memphis?
Well, yeah, I said it a long time ago, if he ever got Larry Brown to Memphis, because when he originally took the job, Larry was supposed to come with him then. And the AD put the kibosh on it. And I thought, well, I don't know anything about most of these other assistants, but I know Larry. Okay. Yeah. Larry's one of the only people to ever live that has championships in the NBA and the NCAA.
The only coach to have an NBA and an NCAA title. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a player that won one as a player for both. Any chance you know who that is?
I do not.
So he is an assistant coach at Arizona right now in college basketball. But he won an NBA title and an NCAA title. It'd be Jason Terry.
Okay. So,
won one with the Mavericks, won an NCAA title with the Arizona Wildcats, Lou Dolson's team. So, yeah, I think it's going to be fun. We shall see what ends up happening with it. Obviously, Memphis still in the middle of the AARP stuff with the NCAA. Who knows how long that's going to take because of the James Wiseman stuff from 2 years ago. James Wiseman, this is how long ago that is. And it's really not that long when you think about it. But, you know, Wiseman is already talking about being traded from the team that he got drafted by. Like, that's how long ago this was, because it was at the very beginning of his freshman year, and we're still dealing with the NCAA stuff. So, regardless, we'll move off of that. Let's talk about the Mississippi State Bulldogs. What a dominating performance in the last two games of the College World Series. They got smoked in the first game and came back and whipped up on Vanderbilt pretty good. Look, we live in Mississippi. It cannot be stated how important this is for Mississippi State University. This is their first ever national championship. Did you watch both of the games?
I watched every game in College World Series.
What are your thoughts? How big is this?
Big deal. If you looked at this like it was a prize fight, it would look way worse than getting smoked in one game and then winning the other two games pretty big. In that first game, they got down 7-1 in the first inning.
Yeah.
And after that, Vanderbilt, I think, scored one more run in that game, one or two runs in game two, and then
got shut out.
Nothing last night.
One hit.
So that's the difference. Is this was not close. This was Vanderbilt put a whooping on them in game one in one inning. And after that inning, Vanderbilt got beat pretty handily the rest of the time.
It was very interesting to me because, you know, the College World Series leading up to the actual championship series had been a ton of close games. You know, the Bulldogs were the comeback kids. You know, like they
fought in every game they were in. So this is a little bit of this is if you watch the other three or four games Vanderbilt played in this World Series, you would see this is not strange to how they've played. Vanderbilt defensively was the worst defensive team in this playoff. I think they had four or five errors in every game. I think they had multiple games where they had multiple unearned runs. No other team has made it this far did that, okay? None. The game two of this three-game series, Mississippi State scored 13 runs at one point in time in the game. They had 13 runners stranded on base. That's 26 base runners. Of the 13 runs, I think, that they scored, I mean, I realistically think like only seven or eight of them were earned runs. They had 5 to 7 unearned runs scored in that game because of errors, because of defensive miscues, and because of walks. That's insane. They had 26 base runners total, and they only gave up 13 hits.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. Yeah. This team played like shit the whole series, but found ways to win.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
It's only defensively did they play like they could pitch great and they could hit, but they could not field at all. And defensively, Mississippi State played the game perfectly. They really did. This is the most complete team I've seen State have in a long time. I don't think Vanderbilt was a top five team, but I thought because of their 1-2 arms, I thought they could win it all because they've been able to absolve all of the mistakes they make in the field because the guys on the mound are just that good.
Yeah. No, Vanderbilt was number 4 seed and Mississippi State the number 7 seed. Of course, a ton of people last night started talking about how, oh, this is what the college football playoff is going to look like. You start expanding it and you're going to get all kind of crazy. No. That's not what it's going to look like at all.
Well, I mean, hang on now. But you got to remember how this tournament is played out. First, it's a 64-team tournament.
Yep.
But they go to 16 different pods, 4 teams to a pod, and only one team comes out of that pod. Okay?
Yeah.
And they play a round robin, you know,
double elimination
thing. And then you go to a super regional, which means so 64 turns into 16. Okay.
Yeah.
And those 16 teams play the best 2 out of 3 series at one of them's home. All right. And then those 8 go and play another strangely formatted tournament.
Double elimination.
It's not just double elimination because when you get to the final round, it's 2 out of 3 no matter what.
Well, yeah. But it's it like leading up to the championship series, it's double elimination. Like
leading up to the championship series, but then you have a championship series. So if you were to play a series out like that, you would have a lot of upsets.
Yeah.
If you took the 4 best teams in college football and scattered them across 16 different pods, all 4 of them are not coming out of the pods. They're just one of them is going to get upset. It's just the historical facts of one of them's probably not going to make it.
No, you're probably right about that.
And then you might lose another one in the next round. And so
in a 12-team playoff, I doubt that we're ever going to see 4 against 7. Like I don't feel like.
Well, no. Yeah. But anyway,
and neither here nor there. Let's talk a little bit of NBA. We're kind of rolling through some topics today, and I'm okay with that because you know it's the Friday pod, getting ready for the weekend, getting ready for July 4th. Hey, by the way, you got plans for July 4th?
No, I'm not doing shit.
Are you cooking? You're not going to cook? Or,
no, I'm not even really cooking. Wow. So none of my family listens, so it doesn't matter. Look, like we all go to my one uncle's house, okay? And he's an unbelievable uncle. He kind of takes care of everybody. He's like, I basically only got 2 uncles left, okay?
Yeah.
That on this side of the family that I'm close to that we see all the time, all right? And he's a great dude, and he wants to barbecue all the time. I'm going to let the cat out of it. He's not good at barbecuing, okay? I'm not a barbecue snob. Now, I am really, really good at barbecuing.
Yeah.
But I'm not a snob. I will eat mediocre barbecue, and I will enjoy the shit out of it.
Well, yeah.
It's been unedible for like 3 years, and it's not just me that cooks good. My brother is a fantastic cook. I've got 2 other cousins that are unbelievable barbecue cooks. I've had their food. He's got a son-in-law that's an amazing cook. And I volunteer to buy a case of ribs, and I will do all of the cooking. Hey, I'm going to save you the money, and I'm going to save you the hassle. No, I'm doing the cooking.
I'm
doing the
cooking. I'm gonna get it. I'm gonna get it.
That's fine. That's fine. I'm gonna keep my ass at home because I'm tired of going over there, spending all day over there, hanging out, and then coming home only to be still hungry, but nothing is open by the time we get home ever.
Yeah, forget that. Forget that.
It's so frustrating, yeah. Man.
No, I can understand it. I'm lucky enough that my father-in-law really knows how to work the grill. Like, he knows what's up. So
let me tell you something, Gary. If the day comes where I have lost my abilities to work the grill, but yet I still insist on doing it and everybody around me is miserable, listen, there's an envelope in my closet with about $5,000 in there. You're allowed to go steal that, hire a drifter, have him kill me. Okay. I don't want to live in that life. All right. But I just don't want to. That's no life to live. Just hire a drifter and kill me.
You and I are close enough.
Because if I make all the people around me miserable, then what what good am I?
You and I are close enough that I feel like I'd be able to talk you off the ledge. I'd say,
I was so nice. I was so nice and so willing to do. I'm willing to take it on. And you have a son-in-law that's really good at this. And you've got five or six other nephews that'll do it. And you can stand next to the cooker and you can drink beer and you can tell us what we're doing is wrong. And just, you could be a part of it, but just let us do it.
And yet nobody will tell him that he's bad at this, right?
Well, but this is the reason why I'm don't have a lot of friends. I'm not close to a lot of my family is because of this very reason here. Because
you tell him, hey, you're not good at this.
Because I got no problem saying, man, it's not good. It's not good.
Your stuff ain't good. You gotta fix your technique.
No, you can't fix anything. You've worked your whole life. Your hands don't work real well. Your back doesn't work real well. Your eyes don't work real well. All your senses are gone. Like, listen, the old line dies and the new line, younger lines take over. This is what happens. It's the circle of life. Go find your spot on the couch and the air conditioning. Let us do it.
It's Simba. It's all
I promise. He will enjoy it so much better if he just ate something that we. And it doesn't have to be mine. I'm not that asshole. It says nobody can do it like I can. So no, I have no plans. I'm gonna sit at home and watch baseball.
Cheers to that. So I will be in Lower Alabama, eating some barbecue, shooting some fireworks. You know, doing the damn thing. I think it's going to be a good time. So my father-in-law has taken a contract job. He's going to be out of the state for like the next, I don't know, 18 months, 2 years, something like that. So this will be the last weekend he really gets to hang out. And we're going to go down and have a good time. I went and bought like, I don't know, $40-something worth of fireworks with my 3-year-old the other day. So we're going to take him down. We're going to shoot some stuff. It's going to be a good time, I think. So let's talk NBA for a minute. Okay. I would imagine that you watched some of the Suns-Clippers game from Wednesday evening.
The start time was awesome because the baseball game was over, and it was not even at halftime by the time I got to the Suns-Clips.
You got that right. Suns end up winning, and they are headed to the NBA Finals. First NBA Finals for Chris Paul, CP3 himself, and what a bitch move by Pat Beverly at the end of that game. Was that not ridiculous? I'm sure you saw the push, right?
Yeah. I wanted to see what that is, yeah.
We know that those guys chirp back and forth, and they've done it for years. Those are two wily veterans that have been doing this forever. What could Chris Paul have possibly said to that man to make him react like that?
It would seem like a very delayed reaction, yes. So I don't know. It's hard for me to think it was because of something he said, just because of how delayed the reaction was. Usually somebody says something crazy to you like that.
Yeah, you jump immediately.
You jump immediately. Like for it to be, I mean, he was a good bit away from him by then, before he kind of snapped. I don't know what. I can't explain that either. It brought up a thought in my mind that I want to talk about. If you're a Suns player, if you're somebody young and important on that team, Jameson Crowder, who I think is an absolute bulldog, he's a guy I want on my roster.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's not young, but yeah.
No, he's not young by any stretch. But no, he's tough son of a bitch though.
Oh yes, all right?
That is a dude I want on my team. All right,
he's made it 2 straight finals.
I want him in my locker room.
Yeah,
And it's because he's one of those enforcement guys. He's one of those guys who comes up big. He's not the best player on your team, but you don't need him to be. He's going to demand respect from everybody. What happens if Jameson Crowder just knocks the shit out of Patrick Beverly after that? Like, protects his guy. Well, now Crowder out for multiple games, probably in the finals, whatever. This is one of those situations where the league would have to say, no. What you did is so egregious, it deserved to get your ass whooped. And as long as it doesn't turn into a stomping and it's just a somebody knocked your ass out and it was over after that, I wouldn't want them suspended at all. But I'm just trying to think, my thought, because that was the thought I had, maybe Patrick Beverly, sour grapes, upset about this loss, thinking, I'm going to do this because I got nothing to lose. And if one of them lose their cool on me, then it's going to hurt them in the finals, and I don't want to see them win the championship.
That is an interesting way to look at this. I had not thought of that.
But if I was a commissioner or if I was a league, I would let it be known, look, no one needs to go overboard, and we don't want fighting. Yeah. But you can't allow somebody to hit you with no recourse. That's why they're going to keep hitting you. Is because they know nothing will happen to them. All right. Well, yeah. How do you stop that? Well, you hit them back and then the bully quits messing with folks.
The reaction from the Suns, like when I first saw it, I thought, I cannot believe that nobody went up and hit this man. But then I kind of thought that was such a weird reaction afterwards.
I think they were everybody, shocked. Yeah, everybody I really was do stunned. Think they were shocked.
Like, it was just, like, Crowder was the only one that even touched him, but, like, he kind of pushed him out of the way and looked at him as if, what are you doing? Like, this is insane. And there was no real melee or anything like that, but, man, it was very strange. I haven't seen that.
Now, that Suns organization is one that has been penalized in the playoffs before because they got into a melee. They came off the bench. We historically remember that in a very important, playoff series.
That was Amari Stoudemire and
yeah, it was Amari Stoudemire situation. And I wonder, did it turn into nothing because these guys are all afraid and they're seeing big picture? And if that's the case, I actually think that's not good for the league. That's not good for your image. I don't want fighting. I don't want this kind of chaos. But when you do something that egregious, it must be faced with extreme prejudice. It must be faced with an equal amount of egregiousness.
Yes. Yes. I tend to agree. Like, he deserved to have his ass beat.
Yes. Worst case scenario, one guy hauls off, decks him, and knocks his ass to the ground. That's it. You pushed him in the back like a punk. Somebody blindsides you and drops you like a toilet seat. Ball game. It's over. We're not piling on top of one another. We're not kicking folks while they're down. We're not doing any of this stuff. But if you don't get hit in the mouth, then you pay no repercussion. Nothing whatsoever is going to happen. They might slap him with a fine. Okay, they're going to suspend him for some games. Well, those will be the start of an 82-game season next year when he misses games. So nobody cares.
Yeah, you're
nobody cares. Right. You're going to send him on a vacation before the season starts because nobody's playing in November anyway.
Now you're dead on about that. Dead on about that.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I told you the other day I wanted to talk about NIL because obviously we're recording on Thursday, July 1st. This is the Friday, July 2nd podcast, but we have already seen a slew. I told you social media was going to be bananas, that we were going to see some crazy stuff pop out on the first day, and show enough. And it ain't just football and basketball. It's everything. So no. your LSU gymnast, what's her name? Olivia, Olivia Dunn, Livy, yep. Dunn. She got 4 million TikTok followers. She got over 1 million Instagram followers. She is, she's in New York City, and her TikTok profile was like splashed up in the middle of Times Square, all yep. this kind of stuff. I mean, she is the most followed active college athlete. On top of that, you got Barstool. They have their first thing, and it is like the athlete advertising Inc. or whatever it is. They've already signed like 5 kids. You've got the former UCF kicker. He is destroying on
the guy
on
that
YouTube.
Had the YouTube channel.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. he came out and said, back in 2017, I risked it all with barely any subscribers. What was his quote here? He said, I chose my YouTube channel over a full D1 scholarship, and now because of that decision, history has been made, and I crawled so that my college athlete brothers and sisters could walk. I think this has more to do with like the Ed O'Bannon stuff than with what he did, right? Am I crazy for that?
Yeah, he's making himself a victim. I assure you that nobody outside of his circle remembers what he did or cares about what he did.
Yes. No, it was never that big of a deal. But we talked about how
it sucks that he gave up his scholarship, and it sucks that he did all that. And what he's saying is true, yeah. But he's not the person that anybody's remembering here. Okay?
No, not in the slightest. Not in the slightest. So Levi Lewis, Louisiana Lafayette, he is a spokesman for Eat Lafayette now. You know, we talked about this. It's not just going to be the big dogs.
No, it's going to be everybody.
It's everybody.
It's going to be everybody.
A ton of different players are now on Cameo, of course.
Well, the University of Nebraska came out yesterday before this happened and said every athlete at Nebraska will have some deal by the end of the year.
Yes. In the entire state,
not just the University of Nebraska. That's right. All of their college athletes will have some deal, and it might be through the state. It might be representing the school or whatever, but all of them are getting the deal.
Breaking Tees, I believe, is the company that is. Yeah, they're one of those companies that comes out as soon as something big happens. They come up with the shirt design and they start selling. They are going to start partnering with college athletes, and the player's trunk has already got custom merch for Dante Allen, Kentucky basketball player. Miami quarterback Derek King has got merchandise with his own logo and signed memorabilia. He's charging $600 for a signed full-size helmet. Fresno State twin basketball players Haley and Hannah Cavender signed a deal with Boost Mobile. Boost friggin' Mobile, man. Like, that's a big-time deal. Derek
Well,
Stingley,
you got to have monster followings for those, and yes. I think they do. I think they have, like, really, really big Instagram yes. followings.
Instagram,
and stuff.
TikTok, yep. Derek That's, Stingley that, Jr.?
Because she's because what's her name? Dunn is the same way.
Oh, I mean, yes.
She's going to get million-dollar deals, but she's nationally known. She's not, you know, locally known.
You are 100% right about that. Derek Stingley Jr., LSU cornerback, he's got a deal with walk-ons. He's going to be cooking with them. He's going to be, you know, making appearances at all the different walk-ons locations around Louisiana. Ad Age, Unilever's Degree deodorant is launching a $5 million 5-year commitment to spread wealth among a variety of men's and women's college sports athletes. Let's see, Ohio State right tackle Nicholas Petit-Frere, he's got an NIL endorsement deal with a technology startup based in Tampa, Florida. Like, I mean, this is some crazy stuff. The most fun thing, I think, is Derek King and Mackenzie Milton. Florida State and Miami quarterbacks have decided instead of just selling their brand, they have created a platform to sell every brand in college sports. Like they have started up a platform called Dreamfield. And basically, let's see, Andrea Adelson wrote about this. As players usher in a new era in collegiate sports Thursday with the ability to make money off their name, image, and likeness for the first time, Florida State quarterback Mackenzie Milton and Miami quarterback Derek King entered the marketplace with a unique business partnership. Just past midnight, Milton and King signed on as co-founders of Dreamfield, an NIL-based platform focused primarily on booking live events for student-athletes, including autograph signings, meet-and-greets, and speaking engagements. Milton and King will be the public faces of Dreamfield and will recruit other athletes to use the platform. That is friggin' genius. Absolutely genius. Did you see Yoke Gaming?
No.
Yoke Gaming is basically an app that was started by a Notre Dame football walk-on, and fans can pay to play video games with college athletes. Like, how cool is that?
Basically, it's another version of Cameo. It's you can have some way to actually connect with these people instead of, you know, just getting a message from them.
Yes.
You spend the next 35 minutes with them on a game.
Bo Nix got a sweet tea deal with Milo's. Pretty awesome. I mean, it's just it's all over the place. Like, it's nonstop. You're going to keep reading about these deals, and I think that the amount of money that these kids are going to make is going to shock some people, right?
Yeah.
Now, so everybody's going to make a ton, but...
No, not everybody's going to make a ton, but everybody... I will tell you this. There's money out there for everybody to make something if you're willing to put the work in and do it, though.
Yes.
That's the thing. So this is what I'm more intrigued about, because I knew all this was happening. I didn't know the details. Like, I didn't know Bo Nix was going to get Milo's. Like, but I know all of this is happening today. What I care about is Mississippi State won the first championship the night before NIL came on. When they get back to Starkville, we don't need parades. We need a weekend in Starkville with all of these guys being the host of the town. Every bar picks two or three guys. Every restaurant picks two or three guys. You come, you sit autographs. There's just a big-ass pub crawl, dealerships, and car rental companies from Starkville come in, and hotel rooms pay these kids for sponsorships and advertisement. They set up booths. They tout these folks. And as a thank you to the team that just won a championship in your city from your school, instead of doing a parade, we're just going to do a big ass pub crawl for the weekend.
Yeah.
And if all of the companies in the community throw these guys some cash, get a contract signed with them, let them have set hours when they're going to be there, radio shows set, basically make it a little bit like Radio Row and Super Bowl, but because you've got a bunch of bars in a small strip of town, you know, it's not going to cover the whole damn city. And so you just go from bar to bar to bar. A couple of different guys do this radio hit. A couple of guys, these guys, they could be on podcasts, they could be on all this stuff, but everybody's paying them some dough.
I like it.
And it's all hosted from there. This is the first championship that's going to get paid, and they should get paid. When they get back from the airport and everybody there to meet them, that this is where Odell Beckham needs to be handing out $100 bills to guys that just won a title.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. You were right about that. Hey, speaking of, all right, so everybody, of course, has been pointing out the Dabo Swinney quote from years ago when he said, if college athletes start getting paid, I might as well just quit because that's not college football, da-da-da-da-da. Apparently, he has changed his tune. Like, there were several Clemson athletes that have jumped on, or Clemson football players that have jumped on different radio shows that have talked about how excited Dabo is for them, and he's helping lead them through all this different stuff, blah, blah, blah. You get how that goes. But the other thing that has come out today is there's a major push on Twitter and a couple of different platforms telling the NCAA that they need to give Reggie Bush his Heisman Trophy back. I tend to agree.
Well, yeah, but I thought it was ridiculous that they took it away anyway.
Well, yes,
like, if you don't like that he got paid in school, you can, you know.
He earned it on the field.
He still earned the trophy, all right? Like, I just don't understand all this. I don't get it.
It wasn't – so the NCAA isn't who took the Heisman Trophy. That was
Trophy company does that.
Yeah, the trust does that. Sure. And they have come out and said, like, no, we're good. Like, you broke.
But the problem is they've only taken two away in history, right? It's his and OJ's.
I don't think they ever took OJ's away, man.
Are you kidding me? Well, I know they didn't physically take it away because they can't, because I don't think he has possession of it. But like, I think they've like denounced OJ. Like, I don't think OJ has his vote anymore. Like, he's not, yeah. He's been like, I don't know, disassociated with the Heisman.
Let's see. I'm like, I'm actually
the same way Reggie has. I think those are the only two people to make Reggie pay the same price that OJ's paying. Is insanity.
It's pretty nuts.
Do we think none of these other Heisman Trophy kids have ever gotten paid before? You don't think their daddy's got a house?
It's pretty nuts. Let's see. Let's see. No, hey, in 2017, he still had his vote.
OJ did?
Yeah.
Then that, all right. That now we have a completely different level. I can't explain this.
Yeah, he.
I can't explain this for some reason. I thought OJ lost his. No. Like, he was associated with him too.
Nope. OJ Simpson's still there. Wow. Still good to go.
So that's insane. Good job. So we're good with murderers, but we're not good with the guy that did something that every other Heisman winner did it to.
He benefited about $300,000. Reggie Bush did.
Yeah. That's a drop in the bucket to what guys are getting today, by the way.
The estimates are that as with his fame and all the stuff that he had back then, he would have made between $4 and $6 million in his career.
Yeah, like, I think, okay, so this is something that I've been off of Twitter for most of the day, because every time I get on, I'm so sick of this. For the last week, it's like we have a lot of sports actually going on.
Yeah.
And sports writers are so bored, and there's a lack of creativity. Everybody's having the same conversation. Well, let's go back in history and who would have made the most money back then? I don't give a shit. We're playing this stupid game that doesn't matter. All right.
You're right.
Like, none of that matters. This is the dumbest thing to have. You're actually, if you wait 16 hours, you're actually going to have people getting real contracts. Can we talk about them?
Well,
just crowned a champion in college sports. If you're going to talk college sports, can we talk about that? If you talk about sports in general, can we talk about the Suns moving on? They've never made it to a final before. Like, you actually have things that are important in your business to talk about, but you're so bored with yourself. If you hate your life that much, if you hate your job that much, get the hell out. Let somebody else have that job.
Do you think that the sports market right now is a little oversaturated with the amount of sports going on?
Yeah. But the problem is we're oversaturated with too many people having the exact same conversations. Okay? If we talk about something somebody else is talking about, it's not because we want to be trendy, we want to be cool. It's because we actually think it matters. Yeah. All right?
That's the only reason we talk about any of these topics.
I'm not, because when you said NIL, I had it in the back of my head, if he asked, hey, let's do this hypothetical, I'm not doing that. And you didn't even ask because you don't want to do it either.
No.
Because it's boring and it's lazy and it's stupid. Okay.
No, I'd rather talk about the actual deals that are going down right now.
Yes.
The Reggie Bush thing is interesting for no other reason.
We have life-changing moments for these college kids.
Yes.
Would I love to look back and think how much money would Joe Burrow had made at LSU? Now, here's the thing. The answer to who would have made the most is who stayed in college the freaking longest. So if you think a college basketball player that was there for 9 months would have made more than everybody else, you're an idiot and you don't understand economics. So somebody who's in school 4 or 5 years, all right? And I would have to say probably at a smaller town, not necessarily a small school, but somebody living in LA ain't gonna make as much as somebody living in Tuscaloosa or Knoxville, because people in LA don't give a shit about that kid. But people in Tuscaloosa would rip the kidney out of their side for him.
Yeah, no, you might be right. I do wonder.
So there's a formula for it, and that's fine if people want to guesstimate. Somebody who said 4 to 6 million, one guy gave that quote, and then everybody's going to run with it because it sounds good. But there's no fucking way to know, Gary. We don't know if he got $2 million his first year, and he just blew it all on coke, and then that would never have Reggie Bush.
That's a valid point.
Like, we don't know that might not have happened.
I think they're looking based on terms of which, of course, a lot of this is okay. You've got so and so many Twitter followers. You got so and so many Instagram followers. Each post is worth this much money. Your amount of fame is worth this much money. Blah, blah. But it's all basically how much somebody is willing to pay you. Like, there is no set number. Like, that's what's crazy about all of it. I got two funny stories to close this out. Is that good?
Yeah.
All right, a video captured by a witness at the Walmart store in Baraboo, Wisconsin, shows an employee pinning a deer to the floor after tackling the wild animal inside the store. We got deer attacking Walmarts now, brother. We talked about rats getting fed and whatnot over in Rhode Island. Now we got deer jumping into Walmart stores.
Yeah.
You ever seen this?
It's strange. This had to be like late at night, right? This is not like 5:30 in the evening where everybody in the world's at Walmart.
No. It says a deer wandered into the Walmart store in Wisconsin and was subsequently tackled and ejected from the business by an employee. They said other employees opened the back doors of the store. They were able to guide the deer back outside. He did not appear to be injured and was last seen running away from the store. That's the only bit of the story. But
my question, do you have to tackle him? Do you think you can like spook him?
So apparently they tried to, I saw this somewhere else earlier today, and they did try to do that, and he just ran further into the store. So basically they had to, tackle the deer and get him headed in the right direction. Like they had to touch him at some point.
I'm not opposed to touching him. There's a difference between like touching him and tackling him. There's a difference between guiding him and tackling him. I think this guy just wanted to tackle a deer.
It's entirely possible. The video is pretty nuts.
It sounds like somebody from Wisconsin would just want the opportunity to tackle a deer.
And they caught it on video. I mean, it's on YouTube. So all you got to search for is Walmart employee tackles deer. That's all you got to do. It's a good video. It's a good form tackle, I think. So speaking of the animal world, we will continue on with that. You know, as we talked about the other day, we talked about the rats. Now we've talked about deer, wandering into Walmart. What do you say we go down to Florida? Daytona Beach, Florida. They had to shut down Interstate 95, man. And the reason why they had to do that was because a crate carrying 100 homing pigeons fell off the truck late Tuesday near Daytona Beach. The birds roost at night, so the pigeons stayed on the road until bright lights from vehicles startled them. They would fly in the air, and they created a hazard for drivers, according to a news release from Volusia County officials. It was an exit off Interstate 95 in Florida. It was closed for 3 hours, and the birds just refused to move. So they said it's the worst case scenario, homing pigeons that can't find their home, the news release said. Sheriff's deputies, state troopers, and animal service workers attempted to capture the pigeons, ultimately recovering 73 pigeons. The birds were not banded, so their owner was not immediately determined, officials said. Our job is to help animals find their way home, whether they're covered in fur, scales, or in this case, feathers, said Volusia County Animal Control Officer Alicia Deese. We're hoping someone out there might have information on where these birds came from or the truck that was carrying them.
So these are people own these birds and they're paying to have them shipped to Florida?
Or from Florida. I don't know which.
Florida,
but they were in Daytona Beach.
But
73.
This is somebody's
pigeons.
Personal property.
Yes, that's weird, right?
That's weird.
I don't know why anybody would need 73 homing pigeons. I don't even know how you ship.
And apparently, the driver doesn't know who they belong to.
Well, no, not the driver, because the driver just ran off. Like the crate fell off the back of the truck, so there could have been more.
Hang on. If the driver ran off, like...
Well, not ran off, like just kept driving. The crate fell off the truck. He kept going. He didn't realize that the crate had fallen off. That's why,
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like these are legal to have. But, why?
I don't know, man. Who's using homing pigeons?
Are we using them for tracking?
Maybe it's a government conspiracy.
What the hell is a homing pigeon used for? Like
I don't know. I think they're just I don't know how they're different than the regular city pigeons. I don't know. Maybe it's just a pigeon and we're just saying homing to try to sound fancy, but they're just like rats with wings. They're gross also.
Oh yeah. Oh, very much so. Let's see.
You know the first job I was ever actually paid real money for? You know what that was?
What's that?
I was either 12 or 13 during the summer. My mom worked downtown. There's a restaurant downtown. She worked at the Baptist Hospital down there. There's a restaurant downtown. The owner has an alley behind his restaurant that every day, when I say filled with pigeon shit, filled with pigeon shit. Every day in the back, to where you couldn't walk out the back door to take the garbage out because like his employees would like slip and fall in it. So my mom would drop me off at 7 a.m. on her way to work every day. He had a painter's suit for me to like get up in and a pressure washer. And I sprayed pigeon shit out of an alley for about 3.5 hours every day.
Jesus Christ.
It's the first time I was 12 or 13. It's the first job I ever got. And
it was
I
every told day.
Him, I said, you need to buy some fireworks and you just need to throw a firework out, like a firecracker out the door, out the back door, like every 30 minutes, just light one and throw it out there. And that pop, they won't come here. They'll go to another alley because some crazy ass person throwing a firework out there.
What in the hell?
He didn't listen to me. He just paid me to spray pigeon shit off of the alley.
Oh my God. That's ridiculous. Hey, homing pigeons, by the way, Googled what are homing pigeons used for today. It says they have been prized for their navigational abilities for thousands of years. They have served as messengers during war, as a means of long distance communication, and as prized athletes in international races. And doesn't tell anything about what they would be used for now.
If they were great at navigation, why are we paying some bum to throw them in the bed of a truck in a crate? Why don't we just send them where they're going?
You got me. It says Genghis Khan used them to communicate across his vast empire. Let's see, the racing homer. Yeah,
they can be, birds can be trained. I've told you about attack crows before.
Oh, yes. Listen,
birds can be trained. They're really smart animals, and they're really easily trained by people that actually know what the hell they're doing. I don't know what I'm doing. But this is the issue, Gary. Why put them in a crate and spend gas money on driving them when you could just send them wherever you're sending them? They have wings. They'll fly themselves.
I mean, you got me. Hey, there's an article from 2019, warontherocks.com. It says, in the era of electronic warfare, bring back the pigeons. I can get down with that. Like this, basically, these are military weapons.
If I had enough money and land, I would invest in land and I would just buy crows and I would pay people to train crows because they're big into the ravens. Crows, hawks, yeah. Anything I get my hands on that's a bird of prey, they would destroy these pigeons, but then they would wreck people's lives. They just take over whole towns at a time.
Oh my God. I love it. I absolutely love it. Is there anything else I need to hit on?
No.
No, I'm looking at ESPN. I'm looking at CBS. I don't see anything yet. No breaking news as of right now. You want to talk about the Euros?
No,
not
that's
either.
Something I've paid zero attention to.
Same here. Too many sports, man. Too many sports. All right, let's go on and get out of here. I hope that you guys have a wonderful July 4th weekend. Of course, while you are doing that, visit winningcureseverything.com. Go check out sbrpicks.com/NCAAF. If you have not already, check out the college football show that we do over there on their YouTube page. You can search out SBR Picks. And if you're listening to this, you're already listening to the podcast, just make sure you're subscribed and leave a nice 5-star review. We would certainly appreciate that. For Chris and myself, we both hope that you have wonderful weekends. We hope that you take care of yourself, take care of each other, and hopefully all of your tickets cash this weekend.
Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. Visit the website at winningcureseverything.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator.
Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.